Everybody, let the meeting show that the this meeting of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee was convened at 8:06 a.m. Today we have present Representative Foster, Representative Keto, Co-Chair Nagiak, and myself, Co-Chair Ledoux. I'd also like to recognize the staff today, Chris, the recording secretary, and Lori, the LIO moderator, and also our committee aides, Kimberly Clark and Harmony Shields. Everybody, please turn off your cell phones. Today on the agenda, we're going to be hearing HCR 24, supporting dog mushing, back again before the committee, and then hearing HB 317, traffic control near schools. Can I have a motion to rescind the motion we had on Tuesday, March 11th, to move HCR 24 out of committee and bring HCR 24 back before the committee?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Okay. I would now like to entertain a motion with the correct language to move HCR 24. Do I have a motion?
Correct. I move HCR 24-28-LS1557/A from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Any objections? Okay, so moved. It moves from committee. Let's take a brief at ease sign the bill folder. Next on the agenda is HB 317. If I could have Representative Tuck or a member of his staff introduce the bill.
Can we take both of us?
Sure will.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Good morning, committee members. I'm Representative Chris Tuck, serving South Central Anchorage District 22. I would like to present House Bill 317, Increasing Safety at All Schools. Every student should be able to get to and from school safely, no matter what type of school they attend. The safety and well-being of Alaska's children should be our top priority. School zones are essential regardless of the type of school or the funding it receives. Charter schools are public schools, and it is shocking that Alaska doesn't already require mandatory school zones to be in place around charter school buildings. In response to public and parent concern, this legislation brings increased safety precautions to all schools to ensure the well-being of every child. House Bill 317, which is increasing safety at all schools, will require the installation of school zones for all public, private, and religious schools, while still allowing the discretion for the municipality on the locations to place signs, speed zones, lights, or other measures where appropriate. Drivers should be alerted wherever children are present in large numbers and at risk. By requiring school zone markings at all school locations, we will slow traffic, improve student safety in the vicinity of our school, and hopefully prevent tragic accidents. This bill also requires a sign indicating these school zones are a drug-free school zone. And if you take a look at the bill, it's very simple. We're adding a new section that on line 4, page 1 of the bill, the regulations adopted by the department under A of the section must include provisions for the posting of official traffic control devices at schools and at school zones. In this subsection, school has a meaning given in AS 2801-010. Subsection K. And then Section 2, we're just amending to put in there, in addition to posting drug-free school zone, the municipality shall post official traffic control devices at schools and in school zones. And then Section 3 is that definition. And in this section, school means a public school established under AS 14, a charter school as defined in statute, and a private school as defined in statute, as well as religious school defined in statute.
Are there any questions for Representative Tuck? Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Will you be also elaborating on the fiscal notes?
Yeah, sure, if you want. Yeah, Department of Transportation is here to explain the fiscal notes also. There's a annual maintenance cost, and there's different regions of the Department of Transportation. They each have their own operating costs for that, and then there's also some capital expenditures for putting up signs.
Any further questions from Representative Tuck? Well, then, could we have somebody from the Department of Transportation elaborate on those fiscal notes before we get into public testimony?
Good morning. For the record, my name is Connie McKenzie, and I am the legislative liaison with the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. And I'd be happy to answer questions on our fiscal notes.
Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe if you could just give a general elaboration of the fiscal notes, and then I can kind of go
so forward. The department, as Representative Tuck said, has prepared three fiscal notes because our department is broken up into three regions around the state. And so our traffic engineers looked at several sources to determine a number of schools and calculated about 30% of all the schools as defined by this bill would be on state-owned roads. And so from there, they further calculated what it would take to do that, you know, a certain number of them would have already have some signage and may need to then have the school zone signs and flashers put in. Some would already have no signage at all and would need the full assembly. So that's how we determined our fiscal notes.
So I've got it. Do you have a follow-up, Representative Foster?
Oh, go ahead. Mine's been well.
So right now, does the Department of Transportation on all state-owned roads have signs around all public schools, and it doesn't have it around charter schools, or are some public, I mean, the way this sounds like from Representative Tuck's testimony, I mean, it sounded like that charter schools are public schools. We won't go down that rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. But for regular neighborhood public schools, does the state stick up signage, but they don't put up signage for charter schools? Is that the way things exist now?
No, there aren't necessarily school zone signs for every public school right now.
Neighborhood it's school.
Every neighborhood school. The department works with the school districts and municipalities in determining where to put signage in, what type of signage would be necessary for that location.
So this isn't simply, the way it exists now isn't discriminating against charter schools, the current status of things.
Representative Ledoux, I'm not aware of I don't know if there's signage at charter schools or not. I don't know if any charter schools have been evaluated to have signage.
But not all neighborhood schools have signage, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. So, Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this is not a cost to the school, then it would be a cost to the DOT, correct?
Correct. This is
okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you had mentioned all schools that are on state-owned roads. So, for example, if you're in a village, I don't know really that many of the roads in most villages are state roads, except for maybe some that might go to a landfill or something. Mm-hmm. So in that situation, then, the fiscal note didn't take into account maybe any signage that might need to go around one of those schools. Is that right?
Correct. We just estimated that roughly 30% of schools are on state-owned roads, okay. And that would be the state's responsibility.
Thank you.
Representative Keto.
Just kind of a follow-up to that, you indicate that 30% of schools would be on state-owned roads. Did the department identify which schools already had signage, so are we maybe have costs in here for schools that might already be signed?
We estimated that a certain number of the schools, a total of 139 schools, would need some sort of signage. And we did that through calculations, not looking at every, going and doing an analysis on every single school.
So would it be, there was no fiscal note, as of course there normally wouldn't be, as to what this might cost the municipalities. But if it's going to cost the state $20 million for 30% of the signs, could we presume that it's going to cost the municipalities then upwards of $40 million? Because 70% would be on municipal roads?
Madam Chair, I can't positively answer that.
Representative Kito?
I think I'd like to maybe get the numbers on the record, and I'm looking at the fiscal note. It appears as though it's actually for central, southeast, and northern region in the neighborhood of about a little over $200,000. Is that correct?
Representative Kito, through the chair, is that for the operating costs? Because if you add all the capital cost comes to about $19 million. And then the operating cost, I at one point had that number in my head.
Can you direct me to the capital costs in the fiscal note? Down at the bottom.
Yeah, down at the bottom and kind of in between the charts. Correct. Through the chair, about $200,000 for the operating costs.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Tuck, were you going to follow up on?
Yeah, no, I was just going to point out that I think the overall cost about $19,700,000, and then I was going to point out where that was in the fiscal notes, that's all.
Right, but that's just for the state, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. That's just for the state. And
so I'm trying to figure out, you know, it's, since only 30% is on municipal roads, is on state roads, I guess we can presume that it's going to cost the municipalities then upwards of $40
million. It could. A lot of our public schools already have signage, but we don't have signage for charter schools. We don't have signage for religious schools or for private schools. And that's what this bill is addressing. So I can't, you know, there's going to be another 70% of schools out there, but we don't know what that percentage is going to be. It's going to be required. But there is nothing in statute that requires any type of signage for schools, even public schools. And so what this bill does is just ensures that wherever practicable, that we make sure that we have those safety zones set up.
Thank you. And it looked like when I was asking the question about municipal signage, it looked like Kendra might have had an answer to that. Do you want to come up and identify yourself for the record?
Kendra Kloster, staff to Representative Tuck. One thing I do want to point out, especially when looking at the fiscal note and the costs, is I know DOT had mentioned about flashing lights. The reason we put the language in there is for practicable is because if you're in a village, you may not need the big expensive flashing lights. So that's something to consider when you're looking at this. Many of the schools may have just, you're entering a school zone, you know, 30 feet on either side of the school. So that's something we need to keep in mind when you're thinking about the costs. With these 139 schools that DOT is looking at, if you drive down, you know, some of these roads, like in Juneau, in front of our public schools, they already have the flashing lights. They have what they're needed. There are some schools, like the charter schools, where we have gotten responses saying that it's not necessary to put up these signs because of the fact that there are no school buses. They don't have walking routes, and so that has been problematic in many of our areas. In Anchorage, for example, there's charter schools that are along really busy roads, and they're saying because there are no school buses going to that area that they don't need to put up additional signage. And that was the response that I had got from the municipality, which was one of the reasons this bill came forward, among others of parents contacting principals that have been trying to slow down traffic with just without any success and no help from the municipalities. But I just wanted to make sure that we're clear that we don't have to put up the big expensive flashing lights where they're not needed. So this cost that DOT has is definitely the very top that you could reach, but in many of these communities, you're not going to need something that expensive.
So are there communities where you wouldn't need a sign at all?
Co-Chair Ledoux, I think what we're trying to get at is just making sure that individuals know where these schools are and where they're where they need to do pay attention and slow down. I know I had conversations with Representative Foster when asking how this would impact some of the rural boroughs, and you know, in our conversations, I hear many people out there saying that they're still speeding by schools, whether it's on a snow machine or whatever they're doing. So I think it's appropriate to saying that at least putting something up, and it's kind of what we're trying to get at with the bill, is just saying that, look, you're entering a school, just make sure you're proceeding with caution.
I guess I'm thinking about toward some of the villages, for example. You got a village of, I had villages when I represented the Kodiak area that had 50 people in them. You couldn't miss the school. I mean, you didn't need to put up a sign that said, you know, school zone there. The big school's in the middle of the village. I mean, if you missed that, I mean, you'd have to be blind.
Just a clarification on the bill. It is saying for cities, boroughs, and municipalities. So
some of those places were municipalities.
So it wouldn't cover everybody, but I do understand what you're saying.
And Madam Chair, if I may add, that oftentimes with religious schools and private schools, people are driving by business communities and not realizing that there's a school there because they don't look like normal public schools. So this is what this bill is addressing, is making sure that people are notified and going into these areas because they're in untraditional places, facilities, that you just wouldn't recognize had you not have some sort of sign up there. And that's what brought this bill forward, is that we have a lot of those facilities, and especially in bigger areas where we don't, without those signs, you wouldn't even know that there was a school existing. Or if without seeing parents dropping off kids or seeing kids around the area, you wouldn't know.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments? Representative Keto.
Madam Chair, just a comment. I do apologize for bringing us down the fiscal note rabbit hole. I just had a concern that it might be a significant overestimate, because when we get into the municipalities, you do actually have a lot of schools, regular schools, that already have signage. So we're talking about a very small number in some of those municipalities that would be added to the list of schools that would have signage. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Nagyak?
During one of my constituent travels, I went to one school, Enfield Language School, and it's right next to a really busy street. There's a store there. There's a government office next door. And excuse me. There's traffic everywhere. And and you would know if there was one a little school there. So, I mean, there's small kids going through there. So I think that's one place that would probably definitely need one there. And wouldn't have to be fancy or not.
Any further questions or comments, Representative Foster?
Thank you. I realize that this is intended to be directed more towards for charter schools, and just wanted to make sure there are no unintended consequences. And so when I look at the villages, who decides what's practicable? And so if our village is going to be, hit with somebody coming around and saying you don't have the correct signage up and we're going to dictate to you what that needs to be, or do the schools get to make that decision? And how do they know that whether or not they're in conformance on this?
Okay. thank you, Representative Foster, and through the chair. This basically, there is a set standards the Department of Transportation has already. And so, and we have guidelines, state and federal guidelines, that determine what signage should be. Typically, in like municipality of Anchorage, they look at the walking routes, and they look at within a radius of about 1.5 miles of a school and determine where to best locate those. Not all places will allow school zone setups due to the fact that there might be some dangers in crossing in certain areas, so they don't want to keep kids away from that area. So it's on a case-by-case situation, and the community gets involved in that, and there'll be, of course, district people will be involved in it as well. So it's that's the reason why it's wherever practicable, because in some elements, just one sign would be fine, and other ones, you know, you may need to have a series of signs just based on the access points, egress, and coming in and out of the schools.
Any further questions or comments? Then I'd now like to open up public testimony. We have before us Jessica Ulrich. And Jessica, please identify yourself and state what whom you're representing.
Good morning. My name is Jessica Ulrich, and I'm a parent of two children that attend the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School in Anchorage, and I'm here representing myself.
Proceed. Thank you.
Hi, I'm calling because I was looking into why there wasn't 20-mile-per-hour signs in front of our school this last month. I don't know if everyone knows, but the Alaska Native Cultural Charter School moved to a new building, a more permanent location, this last fall. And so I thought, okay, it's going to take some time to get settled in, and then hopefully they'll get these signs up. And then when I started looking into things, I found out that the municipality traffic division conducted an assessment in September and said that there was no need to have 20-mile-per-hour signs. My concern is that this school is located off of Bergaw Road, and the speed limit is 35 miles per hour. There are four lanes going across the street, and there's a hill that makes it very difficult to see when traffic is coming off the highway as parents are pulling out of the school. There's only one entrance and one exit. And so, to me, it's very much needed that we do everything we can to protect our children, whether they're walking to school or they're being driven to school. And so when I was talking to the traffic division, I found out that they put a lot of emphasis on the number of children that they see walking to school. And it just so happened that that day that they did this assessment, there were only 9 kids that they saw walking to and from school that day. But I question 3 things. One of them is maybe more children would walk to school if it was safer. I also question the municipality's assessment saying that there wasn't any unobstructed views when there's this hill where we can't see if there's traffic coming up it, and I'm like praying that I don't get hit every time I pull out of that school in the mornings or afternoons. And I also question when the municipality is required to cover the cost of the signage, and they're also the ones doing the assessment, how subjective this starts to become. I tried doing some further research to find out from the Anchorage Police Department how many traffic accidents had occurred between 6th and 7th Avenue off of Bergaw. I didn't get a call back. I'm concerned about the UMed road being approved, and that's going to greatly increase the flow and amount of traffic going down Bergaw, since it'll cut straight through to the hospitals and university area. And I fully support this House bill because it takes out that question of discrimination. It takes out that question of subjectiveness and, you know, who's really in charge of making this decision. I know that I have parents that would also back what I'm saying from the school. I've gone to the parent-teacher-student association. I'm going to go to the neighborhood community councils. I agree with Chris Tuck that children's safety is the bottom line here. You know, 9 kids walked to and from school that day of the assessment. I don't want one single one of them to ever get hit by a car. So if this signage bill could get approved, I know and I will have more confidence that it is going to be safer for pedestrians and all of us parents that are driving all of the 300 kids to and from the school every day.
Thank you very much, Ms. Allward. Thank you for your testimony. Do we have any questions? All right. Well, then the next person is Corrine Osborne. And, Corrine, it says you're from North Las Vegas.
Yes, ma'am.
You want to identify yourself for the record and tell us who you're representing?
Okay. As you said, my name is Corrine Osborne, and I used to live there in Anchorage, and I have currently moved down to North Las Vegas. And I was asked to testify on behalf of Representative Chris Tuck, because this bill is very, very dear to my heart. And so if I may begin, on October 6, 2003, my 13-year-old daughter, Kimberly Osborne, was hit by a car on her way to school, and she died 2 days later. She was hit by a car in front of the school, going 45 miles per hour. The driver was never cited for the accident for speeding because the speed limit was 45. There were no stops. There were no school zone designations. There was no sign slowing you down. There was no identification. There was nothing. For the next year, I fought the mayor and I fought the city to make changes in that area, to include making it a designated school zone so that the posted speed limit would be 24 miles per hour before and after school, for crosswalks and an on-demand stoplight so that when the children pressed the button, traffic would stop in all directions so the children could safely cross the street. And as you can imagine, I met with lots of resistance from the city and from the Department of Transportation. I was given every excuse under the sun why the improvements could not be accomplished, to the cost factor, to the fact that the street was an arterial road designed to move traffic from north to south unimpeded, to telling the kids to use the tunnel to take the school bus, or to tell the kids to use the tunnel. They even didn't want to hear complaints from the drivers complaining that their traffic pattern was impeded by slowing down to let the children cross the street. But eventually, all those improvements were implemented a year later. And since then, there have been no accidents or injuries to the kids. Look, I know this is a political issue. I get it. I get politics. But I'm not a politician. I'm just a mother who lost her child walking to school, which in a very preventable accident. I know there's a bill up before you to designate the school zones and to put up signs in front of all the charter and state schools. I'm also aware there's a lot of resistance to this one, too, from the Department of Transportation. So before you vote on this, I'm going to ask all of you just to do one thing tonight. Just one. When you go home tonight, I want you to look in your kids' rooms and see them sleeping there, because I don't. Imagine them not there because when they were hit by a car going to school. I know this because I've been doing it for the last 10.5 years. So please, please, before you vote on this bill, for the safety of your kids, and for the safety of all Anchorage's kids and Alaska's kids, vote and approve this bill. And I thank the board for their time.
I'm very sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you. The next person is Susanna Orr.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Please identify yourself for the record and tell us who you're representing.
Thank you. My name is Susanna Orr. I'm a resident of South Anchorage, and I am representing myself. I'm calling, as like the other women, as a concerned parent. I am speaking today to offer my support for HB 317 to encourage you to the members of the community, of the committee and your colleagues to support the legislation to install better signage and speed regulations in areas surrounding schools and other community centers that are frequented by children across the state. I'd like to begin by saying that the issue of school zones or speed zones near schools is a new and deeply personal one to me. A week ago, my 8-year-old daughter and my 7-year-old father were hit. Their car was hit by an inexperienced 16-year-old driver who was traveling too fast for the conditions on an icy road. It's impossible to tell if that driver was exceeding the posted speed limit because the posted speed limit on O'Malley Road is 50 miles per hour. As I said, the issue specific to my child's school is kind of a new one for me. Like many of you on the committee, I'm a working parent, and so for the previous 2 years that she's been in school, she has been in the on-site childcare, so she and I have come and gone from school before and after the peak traffic times, which really are just 15 minutes before school from 8:45 to 9 in the morning and from 3:30 to 3:45 in the afternoon. I'd like to say that for her school, easily 150 vehicles come and go from the one main road and have to exit onto O'Malley at both of those times of the day. This year, she's been fortunate enough to have a grandparent retire from the workforce, so my dad takes her to and from school, and they do travel during those peak times of day. Our proximity of our house to our regular neighborhood school prevents my daughter from qualifying for public transportation, like the school bus that would drop her off on a less busy, on an area with less traffic. For those of you who are not familiar with Anchorage Hillside, O'Malley Elementary is located off of a residential road, Rock Ridge, about one block south of O'Malley Road. The speed limit on Rock Ridge is limited to 20 miles an hour during the school day, and there is signage indicating that there is a school on Rock Ridge. There are all manners of commuters to the neighborhood school. There are lots of kids that do walk from that neighborhood to the school. There is one memorable family that delivers their children on a four-wheeler every day. There is no sidewalk or shoulders on either O'Malley or the residential road to protect any of those foot commuters. The only traffic regulations at the intersection of Rock Ridge and O'Malley is a single stop sign on Rock Ridge. There are no yield lights or visible bright signage indicating there is a school in close proximity to that main road. As you're coming up the hill, there is a green state DOT sign saying that there is a school with an arrow pointing down to Rock Ridge. There are cars that pour out from that school onto the busy hillside thoroughfare and are competing with hillside commuters, both particularly in the morning but also in the afternoon. As I said, last Thursday, when my dad was turning onto Rock Ridge, he waited until he had the opportunity and lots of space between himself and a car that was coming down the hill. He had no way to see that a young driver with a small sibling in the back seat was also trying to turn onto O'Malley from a street two roads up. She saw that same vehicle coming down the street and misjudged her opportunity to pull in. So when she pulled onto O'Malley, she punched the gas, not seeing a car to her left that had also pulled onto the road. I am very thankful to be able to say that neither my father or my daughter or the other driver and her sibling were severely injured. The force of the impact caused the young driver to roll her vehicle into a ditch in front of Fire Station 8, and both the police and the tow truck had to be helped, or had to help pull her out. There have been many traffic accidents at this location because of the lack of signage and the lack of a speed zone. And I would ask for your support in this legislation to protect the children at my daughter's school as well as the children across the state who can have appropriate signage at their school location. In closing, I would like to very much thank the bill's sponsor and the co-sponsors for bringing this bill forward this year. and would ask the committee for careful consideration of this legislation. I would also like to offer my fervent hope that this issue not be rolled into a larger debate about state funding for all forms of schools. To my mind, this is not an educational issue, but one of basic public safety, and I'm certain that each of the elected members of this of legislature and the governor take few things more seriously than protecting the physical safety of children and the communities across the state. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Ms. Orr, I have a couple of questions for you. First of all, let me say that I'm really glad that your husband and daughter are okay, that there are no there were no serious injuries resulting from this accident. Your daughter was going to a regular neighborhood school, or was this a charter school?
No, she is in a regular neighborhood public school.
Thank you. Secondly, it sounded like you said that there actually is a sign saying school.
There is a sign on the, her school is located on a residential street. It's about one block from the main thoroughfare, so all of the parents coming and going from the school have to exit from O'Malley Road onto Rock Ridge. There is signage within the, 30 feet of her school. There is no signage on the state road adjacent to her school.
And it also sounds like part of the problem that you're talking about is not simply the signage, but the speed limits around that area also. Is that correct?
Correct. The speed limit on O'Malley Road from the top of O'Malley to the bottom is posted at 50 miles an hour during all times of the day.
All right. Thank you very much. Any other questions for Ms. Orr? Well, thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you for your time.
We also have Robert Boyle. Mr. Boyle, could you identify yourself for the record and tell us who you represent?
Thank you. Robert Boyle. I'm superintendent. Ketchikan Gateway Borough School District in Ketchikan, Alaska. I'm representing the district.
Thank you. Proceed.
The Alaska Traffic Manual from the Federal Highway Administration has Part 7. Chapter 7 is called the Traffic Control for School Areas, and it establishes school routes and the requirements for posting signs around school zones. Urban and rural traffic control matrices are presented on Table 7A100 and Table 7A101. I think you can find those on page 130 of that chapter. And they establish the criteria that the Department of Transportation should follow in establishing these routes to schools, but in many cases they fail to do so. If we go specifically to the Alaska Department of Transportation, they have established and adopted an international program called the Safe Routes to School Program. The Safe Routes to School Program is designed to encourage walking and bicycling to school by the establishment of safe routes. If we examine the Alaska Department of Transportation Safe Routes to Schools program, there is no mention of charter schools within that manual. If we look at other manuals across the states, my example will be the state of New Jersey. They specifically identify charter schools as being included within the traffic control signage required by their departments of transportation and by the Safe Route Schools programs within that school. I went on further to look under the Municipality of Anchorage codes. They have a school zone policy manual of Anchorage, and charter schools are not mentioned within that document. Within the Ketchikan School District, we have a school, it's the Valley Park School, which contains two different charter schools within it. We had construction take place that changed the entrance to those schools. We had an extraordinarily difficult time with the Department of Transportation to rearrange the traffic control signs indicating the school zone. I'm not sure if it was specifically connected to the fact that they're charter schools or not. I just know how difficult it was to get the Department of Transportation to adhere to their requirements to put up signs and establish safe zones. In many cases, I would reject an extensive cost for this bill simply because the requirements for school zones already exist. How the traffic control signs, whether they're flashing lights or simply a sign that's put up, is already presented on table 7A100, and how big or what size those signs are table 7A101. And so the requirements under House Bill 317 is simply a requirement that the Department of Transportation already has. This is not a new requirement. The rules, the regulations are there. The goals of the department are stated in their Safe Routes to School program, and those already establish the routes and how the department should respond to the fact that charter schools exist. The bigger part of this bill that I see is important is the establishment of the fact that charter schools are indeed public schools. And we need to recognize charter schools as public schools within other organizations. In other words, we as a school district recognize the charter school. We think it's important for the establishment of charter schools as public schools within other organizations so that they are not discounted. So this is a support to establish charter schools when other organizations fail to recognize charter schools as public schools.
Mr. Boyle, does the documents that you're talking about specifically exclude charter schools?
It does not mention them. It is not mentioned. So the establishment of 317 would allow that. It opens the platform to make sure that they are included.
I guess that I'd wonder, since we all do know, actually, that charter schools are public schools, that if a document refers to public schools, I guess I would wonder why one would think, unless there was a specific exclusion, that charter schools would not be included.
I referred to the other states that have very similar documents, and they explicitly state charter schools for that inclusion. The Department of Transportation, the state of Alaska, does not make that statement.
Thank you. Any Representative Foster?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to make a comment, an interesting comment. I represent an area that has over 60 communities, all of which are rural. And Mr. Boyle, you referenced Table 7A 100 on page 130, and just above that, I noticed that they define rural, and they say it's a sparsely populated area, which is true. And then rural schools have different traffic control than urban schools because there are generally fewer students that must walk to school. And in a place like Kenny Lake, that's true. It goes on to stay here. Students are usually bused or driven, and that's true in places that are on the road system. But in other rural parts of the state where you've got villages, you know, here it's saying in rural areas, fewer students must walk to school. But in a village, almost all the students walk to school. And so it says because of those reasons, placing 20-mile-an-hour school zones in rural areas is not always a good idea, because it goes on to say it would generate disrespect for school speed zones in an area where few student pedestrians are seen. So I just found that interesting that, you know, we've got so many villages in that state, in the state where so many of the, you know, most of the students walk to school. And so I just, you know, we're very large and very diverse state. So I just wanted to kind of put that on record. And maybe
I think that, excuse me, my apologies. I think that's recognized in 317 from this aspect, is it addresses charter schools. I was previously superintendent of Northwest Arctic out of Kotzebue. We had a number of rural communities there, but we did not have charter schools. And so this one doesn't change the rules or regulations for villages. So if you have a village school currently, passage of this bill does not require somebody to immediately go out and change their signage to reflect any new change. What this does is ensure that charter schools are recognized as the same status as our other public schools, and there would be that recognition establishment in traffic areas. So I believe it would be a non-issue for rural schools that are not covered by this, which are charter schools.
Thank you. Any further questions for Mr. Boyle? Let's go to Luke Hopkins. Luke, are you there?
Yes, I am. This is Mayor Luke Hopkins, for the record, if you can hear me.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much. Mayor of Fairbanks North Star Borough, and of course the North Star Borough here has the responsibility for the school construction, school properties, and of course we get into the signage part of it. I want to say that, yes, I'm struck by the power of the earlier testimony. And you know, we have utilized a program that the state of Alaska has established, and it's the Safe Routes to Schools, and you heard a little bit of it mentioned there. We looked at 16 schools of our 34 schools that we have in the borough that we're responsible for, and we came up with it's a very, very large list of how you provide safe routes to schools. And we're addressing one school, and it's just for a section of sidewalk. It's $500,000 to put in a sidewalk along a street where kids walk to school. We have the signage, et cetera. So what I wanted to speak to is as it's being considered to add charter schools and private schools, I ask that this committee and the sponsors of this bill seriously consider amending this to say, put money into the Safe Routes to School program, and that's a piece where individual municipalities submit to have a grant from that program. Sometimes there's a match, sometimes there's not. It gets very complicated. It's much different than the Anchorage municipality. We have roads. We have 104 road service areas in our community, and many of them have both charter and private and religious schools in them. So I understand the call for improved safety of how our school children and their parents get students to the schools. I just ask that, you know, with this mandate that's being put out there, I understand the call for safety, but I also understand the call for put the money in this legislation or in an appropriation to say this is how it'll get done. And therefore, there's already a program called Safe Routes to Schools. The federal government, I think, had 3 years. I may be a little inaccurate in this, but they put money in it for 3 years. And I don't believe that the state is picking up that funding level. I ask that the state, the legislators that have this before them, say, yes, we will give the municipalities the opportunity to say, here's a funding program, here's the grant program, go for it. As I said, these 16 schools with the Safe Routes to Schools, just the analysis, not even the cost estimates that are firm, it's a 7-inch high book of needs. We have maps, we have where the sidewalks ought to be, et cetera. That's just for just for 16 public schools. So I just want to try to impress, maybe not with inches of paper, but this is a very, very big piece. I understand that hearing, you know, mothers and fathers and relatives are very serious about this. It is a serious issue. I ask that you seriously consider an appropriating route for the municipalities, and I say for my municipality. So I'll be glad to answer any questions on this, but I think that the idea that even 40% beyond or 70%, the earlier discussion with the state DOT, they would say 30% is their funding, and that's what the $19 million fiscal note is. I would say when we looked at our Safe Routes to Schools, it's much larger than that. They may just be talking about signs, but signs are not the only thing that get the children to have safe routes. So I'll be glad to answer any questions, and thank you for this opportunity.
I have a question, Mayor Hopkins. So when the municipality of Fairbanks determines which schools get signage and which schools don't get signage, are charter schools not considered?
Representative Ledoux, we go by the traffic standards that have been referenced a number of times already, and charter schools, so it falls back to we make recommendations for charter schools as to what signage our Public Works Department would recommend for that school. But again, a charter school goes out and, you know, steps into a leased property. They may or may not put up the signs because they don't have bus routes. Everybody drives, or the children walk. So again, they're not necessarily in areas where a sidewalk. So it is true that it's not addressed in our codes. We don't have the depth of codes that say Anchorage does, but then we heard that Anchorage does not apply to charter schools. So there are issues that need to be addressed. That's true. I'm speaking to how we provide the funding for that operation.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mayor Hopkins? Okay, we'll go to Bob. Thank you very much for your testimony, Luke.
Yes, thank you very much.
We'll go to Bob Pristash of Fairbanks. Can you identify yourself and tell us who you're representing?
Yes, do you hear me?
We sure do.
Okay, this is Bob Pristash. I'm the lead engineer for design and construction at the city of Fairbanks. I've been there about 25 years. And I wanted to talk about the engineering perspective just a little bit for your consideration. More signage doesn't necessarily equate to greater safety. You know, if I can make an analogy with a bill that would require you to install a stop sign at every intersection, well, sure, the MUTCD tells you how big the sign should be and how far off the road it should be, but it doesn't necessarily tell you exactly what intersections the stop sign should go at. It gives you a list of warrants that are required to be fulfilled before you put one in, because some intersections may require a yield sign or a traffic signal or just calming devices or no stop signs at all. So what I was concerned about this bill is it's saying that you are required to put in devices at schools when you really should be using engineering judgment. You should be considering a lot of things instead of just passing a bill. Again, the analogy that you will install a stop sign. You need to follow our standards that we have now, the national standards that are modified in Alaska by the supplement, which becomes the Alaska Traffic Manual. So we have installed some devices in the city of Fairbanks. You know, based on the classification of the roadway, the pedestrian generation, the traffic speeds, and, you know, we're working at that. The cost of those devices, the design cost, the construction cost, and the maintenance cost of putting in devices when really maybe the most appropriate method to increase safety isn't more devices, but it's to improve the sidewalk along the area or widen the road or just maintain the road. I have no doubt that this bill is well-meaning, but it may not have the intention or the consequences or unintended consequences, you know, that you're looking for. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Pristash? Well, then, thank you very much for your testimony. We next have Agnes Hausler. Am I pronouncing that right? I guess we don't have Agnes Hausler. So is there anybody else online who would like to testify? Well, it looks like one person then has signed in to testify. So we have Kimberly Clark from Juneau. Do you please identify yourself for the record?
Good morning, Chair Ledoux. For the record, my name is Kimberly Clark, here representing myself as a parent of a child that attends a charter school here in Juneau. And hearing a previous testimony, gave me the urge that I needed to come up and share a recent event that had happened here about 3.5 months ago, is that I have an eighth grader that attends a charter school, and a lot of people are probably not aware is that we have a charter school just 2 blocks here from the Capitol. And I had a family member that was going to pick my child up from school, and right where would be considered a school zone, a speeding car coming up the hill ran right into the car. And the only thing I can keep imagining is if my son was in that car, it was the side, the passenger side that he would have been sitting on that was completely damaged. The whole car is a total loss. I think prior to my son actually enrolling in the charter school, I was not even aware that that was a school. I must have driven by the school 50 times here and had no idea that that was a school. There's no signs posted anywhere even identifying it as a school, let alone any school zones. And I have to disagree with the previous testifier that more signage wouldn't do anything, because I, as a driver, know that when I see a school zone sign, whether the flashing lights are going or not, I automatically slow down and my awareness heightens up and I start looking around for children, regardless if it's school time or not, because wherever there is a school after hours, there's usually children around. And I believe that that really will make a difference. And I know one of the concerns is that, yes, the fiscal note and as a responsibility a legislator is looking on things and tightening down on the budget. But I can guarantee you that, I mean, me thinking of my child, there's no price you can put on the safety and the life of a child. And a lot of people don't realize this with the charter schools here is it's part of the Juneau public school system. It is a public school. It's in the school district here. But because of the way things are written, is that charter schools just aren't really considered part of the district. But they are. Their funding comes, and I can guarantee you they don't have their own funding to put up the signs posted. We do, as volunteers of charter school, we volunteer hours and time just to make up differences and stuff so that we have things we need in the classroom. And I thought that it was just important that I got up and share this because, yes, that I do fully support HB 317, and I think that this is something that is needed, especially with the charter schools. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody, Representative Keita?
I just wanted to make a comment. Thank you, Kimberly. In reference to the charter school that is just down the street, and because it is a charter school, they also do not have physical education facilities in the building. So the students by class are walked over to Capitol Park for physical exercise and recess. So they are possibly more than some other schools walking up and down that road quite often. So thank you.
Any further questions? Thank you very
much. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Kathy Wasserman, Alaska Municipal League. While I certainly appreciate the intent of this bill and think this is something that probably needs to be an ongoing discussion, I'm a little concerned about the way the bill is structured, and AML would be happy to have a discussion with the sponsor and anyone else about how we solve this problem. But I'm a bit concerned and represent the 70% of those schools that will be in other communities. And I realize there are some issues in the larger municipalities, especially I think we heard from people in Anchorage. But this affects the other 161 municipalities as well. And I'm not quite sure, after doing some research and talking with some people in other communities, we're not sure who defines what is practicable, who defines what equipment is needed, who defines any of those things. And so it's a big unknown. And also, we know there are cuts coming. And as we can pretty well identify where those cuts will come and what's being talked about in the legislature this year, and we know with the huge deficit, with now an unfunded mandate on top of the cuts that we'll have to realize, it may be difficult in some communities to even plow the roads. So we have to look at the big picture. And I think that traffic control devices, I'm sure, can be different in every community. But in the smaller communities, even if someone were to do something against a traffic sign or whip a four-wheeler through a school zone, in probably 50% of the community served by a VPSO, there is no local traffic ordinance or ability to ticket anyone. And if they do, there's no court to take them to. So a sign is really just a warning. But as you say, in communities from Aquioc to Gallivan to Pelican, the school is usually the center of the community, and peer pressure works darn well in small communities. So I'm just worried about this being an unfunded mandate where we can't identify the costs at this point, and with cuts probably coming, I am concerned about just being able to keep maintenance and snow plowing done. Thank you.
Representative Keto and then Representative Foster.
Thank you. Ms. Wasserman, I think I'm reading the bill, and it actually, existing statute does say that the language in there is practicable. And I do believe most municipalities do provide school zone signage for most of the neighborhood schools. So the idea is we're adding in the charter and religious schools as schools that should be protected as well. I don't believe that that would be a significant increase. So I'm thinking the total number of charter schools in the state right now is 27. So 27 schools out of 400 plus the private schools, which I don't have a number for, doesn't seem like it would be that overly burdensome for municipalities that are already providing traffic control signs for the neighborhood schools.
Representative Foster.
Thank you. I just want to get the question of who pays correct in my mind. And so we've had DOT testify and said if there are state roads involved, then they've provided their fiscal note. And then it says here if it's within a municipality's jurisdiction, then the municipality would be paying. And then if we're looking at a village, villages, because they don't have their taxing authority, I believe the state would be paying if any signage is required in the villages. Is that correct?
Well, Representative Foster, through the chair, I'm not sure what you're referring to when you say a village. Under Alaska law, many people call Gallivan a village, but it's a municipality. Kenny Lake, no, is not a municipality. So I do not think under this current law that it would be required there.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So communities within an REAA, for example, that don't have they don't have property taxes, they don't have any way to pay for things like this within their municipality, which isn't technically a municipality if it's an REAA, correct?
Representative Foster, through the chair, that's correct. There are many communities that are in REAA areas, do not have a tax base, mm-hmm. either because of native land or whatever, and again, this would be a huge expense for them. And some of them are starting to put in smaller schools because they're losing funding for their public schools because their numbers are going down.
Madam Chair, Rep. Foster here. And so so in that situation for a school that's within an REAA, is it the state then that would have to pay for the signage or is it the village?
Representative Foster, through the chair, from my understanding of this, it would be the municipality. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's who's responsible under under this section D.
Thank you.
Any other further questions? Well, it's my intention to hold this bill today. I think that the intentions are good. I personally would like to see charter schools covered to the extent that public schools are covered. The testimony suggested, though, that not all of the public schools are necessarily have the stop signage, etc. Because it's hard to believe that with the limited number of charter schools around, that we'd end up with a $20 million fiscal note from the state and probably twice that much or more for the municipalities. So I think we need to do a little bit more homework on this, and maybe Ms. Wasserman can work with Representative Tuck, and maybe we can hear the bill further. Are there any comments from the bill sponsor?
Yes, Madam Chair, if I may. I just want to address some of the stuff that was just presented. You know, one thing I want to start off with is that in municipal code right now, there are no requirements for school zones set up. In state statute. What we have now is it says that a municipality shall erect necessary official traffic control devices on streets and highways within its jurisdiction that, as far as practicable, conform to the current edition of the Alaska Traffic Manual prepared by the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. So this term is already used in statute in dealing with signs. So the concern about not knowing what practicable means, I'm sure that municipalities have been going through this over a period for setting up drug-free zone schools. Right now, the first subheading to that says, the municipality shall post a sign indicating that the school is a drug-free school zone. So why do we do that? Why do we do that? Give awareness of why we want drug-free zone schools. So how much more important is it to have people be aware that there's a school safety concern as well, and why that we may want to slow down? Even just a notice that there's a school there, it may be appropriate, may be practicable in each one of these situations. And so when we look at that, I mean, we heard the concerns about money. And I'm surprised that money is more of a concern than the safety of our children, because that's what it comes down to. And I think the fiscal note is actually probably going to be a little bit large, looking at, in case you have to put a school flasher in each one of these locations. But it's still very reasonable for what we're trying to do. And what we're trying to do is put in here, along with drug-free school zones, that we put in that there's a school zone in that area. Now, charter schools are handled differently, even a municipality. And charter schools are, because private and charter schools don't have a bus route system, don't have typically walking areas there, they are excluded from when the Anchorage municipality looks at setting up a school zone. And so even though charter schools are public schools, I think this exercise that we've been doing this last session has awakened a lot of people's awareness that they are public schools. A lot of people thought they were private schools. And I would just wonder how much more the general public don't realize that they're public schools. So the fact that they're public schools isn't enough awareness. The fact that they are in facilities that are untraditional requires more awareness. And so what this bill is doing isn't setting up sidewalks, isn't setting up traffic patterns or anything like that. It's just bringing awareness. That's it. And I appreciate, the Safe Routes to Schools program, but that's not what we're addressing here. We're not addressing funding that. We're not addressing changing sidewalks, as I mentioned earlier. This is all about awareness. And I think that's the most important thing that we need to look at right now.
Thank you. Any committee comments? Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to maybe echo some of the concerns. And as a high school student myself, I recall almost being hit by a snow machine in a school zone when back in my younger days, and we're currently working with a family whose son was killed in Fairbanks by a speeding vehicle in a school zone, and this was by a family from Nome who had just moved to Fairbanks. And so, I certainly understand what you're saying in terms of creating awareness, and I very much, you know, hear what Kim Clark is saying. And so, I think it's very well-spirited, and I just wanted to say that I look forward to, you know, continuing to look at this and maybe asking some more questions about how this would affect the villages. I think, as you say, at the end of the day, we're looking at safety of the children, and so it's hard to put a dollar value on that. So, thank you.
Representative Herron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Tuck, of course, there's other awareness signs that are all over the state. This family or this business maintains or removes litter that gathers on the roadsides, and then we, of course, have in memory of somebody that died in an accident by any means. But maybe you could work with the committee and we could set up that kind of awareness, but a group or an individual or a family could find the funding to put up an awareness that there is a school anywhere and make it where it is a not only a local decision, but it is a decision by motivated people to make sure that a public school, a charter school, a private school is made aware of to drivers. That might be a way to get around this funding issue, which is going to be difficult, but it also makes people become more proactive in their local community, and it's in a lot of ways it's more personal, and maybe we could have some enabling legislation that just does that.
If I may, Madam Chair, a couple things. Going back to what was said earlier on rural conditions, and I agree. I think when we look at the federal traffic standards, when they look at rural, they're looking at rural as being farmlands mostly. That's the reason why you don't see a whole lot of pedestrians walking or a lot of students walking to school. And so Alaska is unique in that way. This is a proactive approach. This isn't waiting for something to happen and then the community gets involved to make change. This is to make change now before something happens. And it is difficult to be able to, I mean, I think that's a frustration that we have with a lot of our private schools and a lot of our charter schools, is that they don't get the same funding as other schools do. So they're already a huge pocketbook drain, if you will, on the parents and a commitment. And so what this does is this doesn't put the burden on the schools and on the families. This puts it on the community as a whole. And each charter schools, according to the Anchorage School District, is looked at in a case-by-case situation. And and it says right here in a letter that we have from the municipal traffic engineer for the municipality, it says, because charter schools are not zoned like other district schools, they do not provide busing or have defined school walking routes, which means they do not have specified school zones to be marked. We're asking that they do. They don't have to come by the they don't have to meet the same standards as a regular public school does because of the lack of routes and the lack of pedestrians, but school routes and pedestrians, but they do need to be considered. And I believe, and you heard testimony, that awareness will work. There's a study that's going on in two locations in Anchorage, and they're cautiously optimistic about it because they have already seen an immediate effect at these two locations, at least for the short term, in awareness and traffic slowing down in these areas. And so this is a proactive approach, and I appreciate the comments. We will work every angle that we can and make sure we have awareness for our schools, whether they're public, private, or religious schools.
Thank you very much. My aide pointed out that I neglected to close public testimony. So unless there's anybody in the audience or anybody online, I'm going to close public testimony now. And thank you very much. And it is 9:20, and this meeting is adjourned.